You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It's Monday evening, SRL on a Monday night. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
How you doing tonight?
I'm a little bit tired, but I'm still raring to go.
Like I said before, you're always tired on a Monday.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm up on Mondays. I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning and just go all day. So by the time I hit the studio after we've watched Raw, I'm running low on gas. I'll be honest with you.
You're probably just still hungover from your Royal Rumble party that you went to yesterday.
Oh yeah, the Royal Rumble party. Oh, what an event that was. Hey, what'd you think of the Royal Rumble?
I'm gonna say that I enjoyed it. I can't say I'm like super happy with what I witnessed on the actual pay-per-view itself, but I thought it was good. I'm giving it a 5 out of 10, honestly.
5 out of 10? So that's not that great, but it's not that bad either?
No.
You know what? I'm pretty much in the same boat as you. Honestly, I kind of went into this event with high expectations, but I left feeling a little bit disappointed. I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do with Sheamus being the victor of the Royal Rumble here. I mean, who do you think he's going to go after?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I mean, obviously, there are two titles that he has to pick from, the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship. My biggest problem is if he picks the World Heavyweight Championship, that match to me was a bit, or that belt to me, the credibility was a bit hurt at the Royal Rumble because it was the opening match of the entire pay-per-view. It was the World Heavyweight Championship match. So you're going to have the opening match of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view be a steel cage match for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then in the main event of the evening you have the Royal Rumble, and the winner of the Royal Rumble ultimately picks the belt that was the opening match on that show. Like, that just, it just ruins the credibility of the World Heavyweight Championship.
This is one thing that really kind of bothers me about the whole thing. If he does end up going for Daniel Bryan, because I think that's the path he's going to be taking personally, but I don't know. Do you remember last year at WrestleMania, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan was the dark match?
Yeah.
And now this year, it's going to be one of the title
yeah,
fights at WrestleMania?
That's interesting, isn't
it? Doesn't that seem kind of odd to you?
Did you just come up with that yourself? Or did you
I just thought of that right off the top of my head.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's true. out of 10, what are you giving the Royal Rumble?
I'd probably give it a 4. One less than you.
Now explain to everyone where you watched the Royal Rumble.
I went and watched the Royal Rumble actually at a movie theater here in Vancouver. It's called Colossus. It's out in one of the suburbs of Vancouver called Langley.
So and, Cineplex Odeon Theater.
That's right, out in Langley. And it was quite fun. There was a lot of people there. It was 3/4 capacity, and the people there were really they're really into it.
Is there a lot of young people there? Or?
Yeah, it was a lot of high school kids. Yeah. A lot of people cheering for the heels, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
John Laurinaitis actually had quite a following in the theater. I was quite surprised.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so what does that cost you to go there?
Just under 20 bucks. I think it was like 18 and a half or something like that.
Can you buy beer while you watch the pay-per-view there or no?
I wish.
No.
No. Unfortunately not.
Oh, that's interesting.
So one drawback to not having it in your house, I guess.
Yeah. I came home, watched it late last night, and I just felt maybe it was because I'd watched it so late at night, but I just feel that it wasn't attention grabbing. Nothing really stood out. I thought everything up until the Royal Rumble was just kind of time filler until they got to the Royal Rumble. I was kind of disappointed with the amount of surprise entrance that they had. The surprise entrance that came out just really weren't that big of surprises to me.
I know. I was very disappointed with the actual Rumble match itself. I felt there was a lot of wasted spots in this year's Rumble match.
Yeah.
Like, there was absolutely no need to see all three of the announcers be in this year's Rumble match.
That was
terrible. Like, instead of having Michael Cole come into the Rumble match, why not have Goldust come out and further along his feud with Cody Rhodes heading into WrestleMania? Why not do something like that? You know?
I just find it so cheesy that you announce the next competitor of the Royal Rumble and he happens to be sitting at the commentator's table. And what I had to laugh at was when Booker T was announced and he takes off his suit jacket and his white collared shirt.
Yeah.
But the whole time he was sitting at the announce table, he wasn't wearing any pants. So he had his shirt on to make him look like a commentator.
He's wearing his tights and his boots. Yeah.
Below the waist. Like, I'm just like,
did nobody notice that?
Oh, come on. Like, that's such a sham. I guess that's the magic of television, though. Yep. I mean, I know a lot of sports anchors who actually, you know, they wear the business suit, blazer, and shirt, and the shirt and tie, but then underneath the anchor's desk, they're wearing sandals and shorts. So it's not uncommon, but I just found that funny. What were some other moments of the Royal Rumble that you really liked?
That I really liked? Well, there wasn't really a whole heck of a lot. To be honest with you, I kind of liked the cage match to start out the whole show.
Yeah.
I really thought the finish with that was kind of cool, where Daniel Bryan was essentially hanging off of Big Show's arm from the top of the cage.
And what about Kofi Kingston with the hand walk?
Almost. Oh, right. You know what? Thanks for reminding me. That was really cool, too. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was really cool. And, of course, I got to say, you called Karma making her return.
What do I say?
But you didn't see her. You didn't see her tonight on Raw.
I know. You know what? That was so weird how we didn't see her tonight on Raw. And we'll get a little bit into this as we move forward here. But I thought that was, really weird how
we didn't
see her
tonight. Do you think it was just a one-night off appearance? Or do you think that she actually is making her return?
I think it probably at this point was just a one-off appearance. I mean, she just had her kid 2, maybe 3 weeks ago at best, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know the exact date personally, but it's got to be 2, maybe 3 weeks at best.
So you're saying one night.
So for a little bit, I mean, she's got to take care of her kid for the next few months, I would guess.
Okay, so we go from the Royal Rumble last night to Monday Night Raw tonight, which was taking place from Kansas City, Missouri.
That's right.
Now, how are you feeling? You know, obviously you'd watched the Royal Rumble. Now, before we even get going with Raw, I want to ask you. Actually, before we get going with this show, let me just remind everyone. www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Facebook.com/smacktalkradio. We're looking for anyone to post comments about Monday Night Raw on that forum tonight. On Facebook, I should say.
That's right.
If your take doesn't suck, we will read it on the air.
Yep.
Now, heading into tonight's Monday Night Raw, you don't know how they're going to start when the, you know, you don't know how the show is going to start because it's the official start to the road to WrestleMania, as they like to advertise. And in my head, my big question heading in tonight was, well, who will Sheamus face at WrestleMania?
I think that was everybody's question heading into Raw tonight.
Now, before we started Raw, who were you thinking? You were thinking Daniel Bryan.
I was thinking definitely Daniel Bryan. Just for the fact that CM Punk is a babyface and Sheamus is a babyface and you can't really have two faces face each other. It doesn't really work, right?
Okay.
So,
all right, so to start off Monday Night Raw tonight, John Laurinaitis walks out to no entrance music, and he walks down almost clapping the fans' hands, almost like a, you know, baby face.
He wasn't wearing his Future Endeavor t-shirt that I enjoyed so much.
No, I know. That was a good shirt that he wore.
Yeah.
He walks down to ringside. Cole and Lawler, who are sitting at the commentator's table, of course, they remind us that John Laurinaitis could be fired tonight on Raw from Triple H's job performance review. Remember, they talked about that on the Go-Home show heading into the Royal Rumble. Now, we are then reminded that the 2012 Royal Rumble winner is Sheamus. He's in the building tonight, and we're going to find out if he's going to be facing the World Heavyweight Champion or the WWE Champion tonight, or will we find out? I mean, really, they never said we are going to find out. They just basically posed the question, will we find out?
Yeah, they just kind of teased you a little
typically,
bit.
Typically, in the years past, when the Royal Rumble winner has won, he has come out the next night on Monday Night Raw and made his decision as to who he's going to face.
Typically, but it's kind of changed in the last few years. They haven't exactly followed that same mold, I find.
Yeah. At this point, John Laurinaitis is on the microphone and he says that he's looking forward to his job performance review tonight. He says that he's confident he will be named the permanent Raw general manager because he doesn't make the same mistakes twice while on the job. He's admitting that he's made mistakes, but he doesn't make the same mistake twice. He learns from his mistakes. He wants to talk about his job at the Royal Rumble and how he called it fair right down the middle. He also says that there is one stop on the road to WrestleMania, and here's something that I had to laugh at. He says there's one stop on the road to WrestleMania, and that's the Elimination Pay-Per-View.
Again, botching his lines on the mic.
Botching the official name of the pay-per-view, which is the Elimination Chamber Pay-Per-View. He says that there's going to be a Raw Elimination Chamber match and that the competitors are actually going to be The Miz, R-Truth, Kofi Kingston, Chris Jericho, and CM Punk.
Should be quite the match.
What's funny about this is that they actually announced this on WWE.com this afternoon.
Oh, did they?
Before Raw even started. So, do you like how they do that? Or do you think they should save that sort of stuff for the actual broadcast?
I think they should actually save that for the television show because then you've got a reason to tune in and have a little bit of a surprise once in a while.
Well, they're obviously doing it because they want to drive traffic to the WWE website and
make it more interactive. Yeah, I can see where they're going, but
it makes people want to tune into the website almost an hour before Raw starts just to see if there is any sort of update to the show before it even begins. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
I think that's the way they're going moving forward.
Now, he announces a bunch of matches for tonight, with one of them being Punk versus Daniel Bryan tonight on Raw, a champion versus champion match, no titles on the line. At this moment, CM Punk's music hits. He walks out with a microphone, and he starts out with a na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye.
Yeah, and he's getting the crowd into it. And
so he walks to the ring chanting this. He actually does it quite a few times. I think the crowd was almost getting to the point where they were like, all right, let's just get on with this.
He's high-fiving and slapping the crowd. He's getting the announcers into it. He gets the ring announcer into it.
He gets right into the ring, and he gets right up into John Laurinaitis' face, and he chants it again. But at the end of this verse, he actually says, na 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 na, hey, goodbye, clown shoes. clown shoes? Does that work for you?
The new name for John Laurinaitis, I guess.
Is it working for you?
Clown shoes?
Yeah. No. Because he said it last night at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, clown shoes. Yeah, I don't.
And during his match, he said
that. I don't know.
That.
I don't get it personally, but.
Now, John Laurinaitis replies back saying, you owe me an apology because Punk, you know, you thought I was going to screw you at the Royal Rumble. I didn't. I was a man of my word. Punk says he only came out here tonight for one reason, and that was to see his dim-witted face one last time before John Laurinaitis gets 86'd by Triple H.
86. There's a term you haven't heard.
Do you know what that is in reference to?
I don't, actually. Why don't you fill me in?
86 is when you work in the restaurant industry. If you run out of a food item, you 86 it off your menu.
Oh,
it's just a term in the restaurant industry. So, you know, if you're all out, let's just say you're all out of broccoli, the people in the kitchen will say to the servers out in the front, yeah, could you 86 broccoli? Meaning we don't have any 86, or we don't have any broccoli left. And
good to know.
Yeah, that's sort of a term. I can't remember exactly how that came to be, but that's what he's referencing.
Oh, good to know.
Now, Punk says he's been entertained these last few weeks. The way that John Laurinaitis can't speak clearly into a microphone, the way he trips all over certain words like he doesn't have a grasp on the English language, and also just how John Laurinaitis has managed to suck and blow at the very same time.
A little bit of a reference to the first Wayne's World movie, and it's at this point that Elimination Chamber is trending worldwide on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure we're reminded numerous times throughout the evening that, you know, what is trending.
What is trending.
Yeah. Now, John Laurinaitis says that he wants to forget everything that's happened with him and CM Punk so far, and he wants to start fresh, start new. He extends his hand for a handshake. Punk kind of looks at it like, are you crazy? He asks John Laurinaitis that, just that, are you crazy? Because the only way anyone should extend that hand to the WWE champion was if he wanted to go to sleep. It's at this point that Daniel Bryan, the World Heavyweight Champion's music hits. He walks out. Now, Daniel Bryan asks both John Laurinaitis and Punk if they both remember who he was, of course referencing the fact that he is the World Heavyweight Champion. Bryan reminds everyone that he won a steel cage match at the Royal Rumble against Mark Henry and Big Show and says that no one truly understands his accomplishments last night. Bryan brings up the fact that he brings up this first time ever match that John Laurinaitis had announced earlier, the Champions versus Champions match.
I don't think that's the first time they've ever done that, but
God, no. I mean, that's just something that Laurinaitis said, I think. I don't know. But he brings it up that this, you know, he brings up this match that Laurinaitis came up with earlier. And he says to Punk, you know, compared to what I went through last night, you're not much of a challenge. So trying to hype up the main event for tonight, at least what I thought was going to be the main event. Daniel Bryan reminds everyone that, you know, he is a role model to everyone here tonight in the WWE universe because he's a vegan. What do you think about that? Do you look up to him for that?
Because he doesn't eat animal meat?
Yeah.
Sure, I own animals.
This is all, of course, stemming from his award-winning, you know, he won the Libya Award for being the most... It was the PETA Award.
That's right, we were just talking about this on the last
episode. For being
most
animal-friendly athlete. Yeah. So it looks like they're going to run with him being a vegan now.
Well, hey, you know what? Good on him for running with that.
Yeah. And, you know, Punk says that he doesn't eat meat, but Punk says to Daniel Bryan, yeah, you don't eat meat, but I'm wondering, what do you eat? Punk's kind of taking it across the line here tonight. Daniel Bryan gets...
It's like, wait, where are you trying to go with this, CM Punk? Like, I know. This is a PG show here.
Daniel Bryan gets serious and he says, jokes, eh? You're just full of jokes. I'll take that pipe bomb of yours and stick it where the sun don't shine.
Oh, them's fighting words.
Now, at this point, it's the 2012 Royal Rumble. Sheamus, his music hits. He walks out, grabs the microphone, and he reminds everyone that he gets to pick which title he wants to go for. And he tells John Laurinaitis some old Irish joke about hoping Triple H kicks John Laurinaitis.
I believe it was. He hopes that Triple H puts his foot so far up his arse that his lacy panties get in a twist or something along those lines. It was kind of odd.
You know what? The night after you win the Royal Rumble, you got to come up with something better than that.
Oh, kidding.
God.
Like, I don't know. I'm just, I got to be honest with you. I'm just not feeling Sheamus being the Royal Rumble winner. No. I don't know. I'm just not.
Well, of course, the opening segment then after Sheamus reminds us that he won the Rumble and he makes a joke to John Laurinaitis, the opening segment ends with Punk and Brian shaking hands as we head into commercial break. So here we are, champions versus champions match tonight, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. How are you feeling about the opening segment here, James?
So far, it's all right. I mean, what do you really say, right? It's right after the Royal Rumble. I'm kind of going into this show with high expectations based on what I saw in the pay-per-view last night.
And
it's not doing so great so far.
Do you expect a better first showing from the Royal Rumble winner, Sheamus?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, how would you have liked to have him come out tonight?
How would I like to have had Sheamus come out? Well, I would have liked to have seen him in a match at least.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just 10 minutes at the beginning of Raw, that's all we saw of him. I mean, the guy just won the Royal Rumble and we only saw him for, what, 10 minutes on the entire show?
Yeah.
He's not wrestling or anything. I don't know. It's.
Do you feel like he even made an impact after post winning the Royal Rumble? Like, I feel like nothing was convincing that this guy should be in the main event at WrestleMania. Like, he wasn't even given ample amount of time to, you know, brag that he won. I mean, he came in, he interrupted this ongoing saga with John Laurinaitis and CM Punk, said a joke, said his two words, and walked out of the ring.
Hey, dark match 1 year, title match the next. That says it all.
Can you actually see Sheamus being in the main event at WrestleMania?
I don't know. You know what? I got it. The one thing about Sheamus is he's very over with the crowd as a babyface. Mm-hmm. So from that aspect, yes. Personally, I'd prefer not to see Sheamus. I'd rather see somebody else in that spot. Like, I really would have rather have seen Chris Jericho win it last night. That would have, to me, salvaged the pay-per-view at least.
And he almost did.
But no, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I don't know how I'm feeling about it going into WrestleMania, but then again, we've got 2 months to go here, so
yeah,
we'll have to see what they come up with.
Now, what about Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus? Is that a WrestleMania-worthy match?
I wouldn't say it's WrestleMania-worthy. It's definitely a pay-per-view match, but I wouldn't say it's WrestleMania-worthy, personally.
Okay.
What about you? What do you think?
Nothing excites me about either man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm with you there.
I do like Sheamus. He's a good guy for the company. I mean, you saw him on Conan O'Brien there in the past, and he represents the WWE well, and he's got his crap together. He's not like he's not partying and getting, you know, wellness violations. Like, he's got his act together, and he's representing the WWE well. So this is their way of saying that, you know, yeah, Sheamus is around to stay.
I don't know. You know what? Personally, I kind of get the feeling that Sheamus is friends with the right people behind.
You think so?
Backstage.
Well, that might have something to do with it.
I think that has a lot to do with it personally.
But he also delivers. It's not like he's not living up to his name.
He's not terrible. He's not Sin Cara or anything, but.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, at this point, Randy Orton, he walks out, and this is, of course, going to set up Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler with Wade Barrett watching from a skybox up in the stadium somewhere.
Yeah,
you know,
what's
like
up
a
with
suite.
That?
I guess he gets his own suite. They just give him a suite to hang out in.
There you go.
Normally we would rent that out for $5,000 for the night, but hey, Wade Barrett, you want to hang out in there by yourself? Go ahead. So Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton.
Before I get into this match, what did you think of Ziggler's performance last night at the Rumble?
I thought that Punk versus Ziggler was not given the proper time, and it wasn't given the proper focus, because obviously the whole focus of that match last night was John Laurinaitis and Punk.
What about the fact that Ziggler got beat 4 times in one match? Doesn't make him exactly look good.
No, and then he loses again, you know, tonight. Like, I don't know what he's done. Has he done something wrong that,
like,
we're not aware of?
Here's a guy, I don't know, we could go on forever about Ziggler being on the cusp of main event status, but
he's been on the cusp of main event status
for like
months.
A year.
Yeah, almost over a year, probably.
Like a year.
Like, are they going to give this guy a shot or not?
No kidding.
I want to see it.
I think it's going to be big. When they finally put the belt on him, it's going to be big. But anyways, like I said, first match of the night is Orton versus Ziggler. It was a pretty good match. It went about 8 minutes long. Had some quick back and forth action, a nice pace to it. Some great spots in the match would include Ziggler getting superplexed off the top rope by Orton for a 2 count. And the finish of the match essentially came when Orton got Ziggler up on the second rope for the DDT that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just hit him with the RKO, and that was the finish after 8 minutes. So
Randy Orton is back.
Randy Orton's back. beat Ziggler cleanly with an RKO. What'd you think of that?
I think it's a terrible way to have your, you know, the guy who fought for the WWE Championship last night mm-hmm. all of a sudden lose cleanly to the returning Randy Orton the next night. Like, it's just, you're just burying the guy.
The guy's working his butt off, too. Every night he comes out and has a great match.
Yeah, it bothers me. It bothers me what they're doing with Dolph Ziggler, but I need to digest this a little further. I mean, I'll get into it maybe in next episode or something, but I'm just frustrated with what they're doing with Ziggler. I like him so much, but they're just not giving him that chance to shine. Yeah. He's just cannon fodder for every other storyline that's going on right now.
I know, it seems like that. It seems like he's just, I don't know, building other people up or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say.
We then head backstage where CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, I should say. Punk reminds everyone that they've been friends for a long time and that, you know, they were both underdogs who made their way to the top. But Punk doesn't think most people think Bryan is a role model, like he had said, and that most people don't even know what a vegan is. Daniel Bryan reminds us that, you know, he reminds us about the senseless killing of animals, and he kind of goes into this big guilt speech about why he's a vegan and why you should be a vegan as well.
Because if you eat meat and you bite into that juicy, salty piece of meat, you'll hear the screams of tortured animals everywhere.
Yeah, something like that.
Something along the lines of that. Yeah.
And Punk says that's fine, but he doesn't drink, do drugs, or smoke, but that doesn't mean he claims to be a role model. He's just the best wrestler in the world.
Is he? Well, is he really?
I don't know. We'll have to find out at WrestleMania, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's too early to say that, I guess. So this sends us into commercial break. We come out of commercial break, and it's at this point that CM Punk's music hits, and he walks out. And, James, I got to say, you know, I thought this opening segment of Raw, where he came out and had the opening segment with John Laurinaitis, mm-hmm. I thought that was setting up the main event match for the evening, but they were going to do this champions versus champions match right now.
I think it was at that point that I told you, they're pretty much going to do Kane Cena program heading into the end of the Raw, right?
That's just very surprising. You spend the first 12 minutes talking about this big champions versus champions match, and then what, 15 minutes later, you have it? That's basically what happened.
Yeah, basically. Well, they had a match in between there. They had Brodus Clay versus Tyler X. That was in between.
Was it?
Yeah. They had Brodus Clay versus Tyler Rex. It was another squash match by Brodus Clay, essentially. Tyler Rex got a little bit of offense in the beginning, and then Brodus Clay would cut him off with a nasty-looking belly-to-belly suplex, and then he would hit his cross-body splash off the rope, pin him in about, it was like a minute and a half.
I skipped a whole page of my notes, that's why.
Okay, there you go.
Well, okay, before, let me just quickly backtrack, because it's worth mentioning.
Okay.
So yes, the Brodus Clay match happened versus Tyler Rex. As soon as I laugh, because when Brodus Clay walks out, you know, you see Brodus Clay, and then you're just waiting for the shot of who's going to lose to him.
Yeah, that's...
You know? So that's funny. But before that match, we actually had a WrestleMania promo video. That's hyping WrestleMania, reminding us that it is officially 62 days away. We also had John Laurinaitis backstage asking the employees how they were doing, how their families were doing. He walks up to William Regal, and John Laurinaitis asks, "How are your sons doing?" But Regal reminded him that it's not my sons, it's my daughters. And John Laurinaitis shakes Curt Hawkins' hands, and that was probably the most TV time Curt Hawkins has had on Raw in a long time.
Long time. I think that's the first time he's been off NXT. And
before we got to the Funkasaurus match, we had a Did You Know graphic, and that tonight's first Did You Know, because there was two of them, believe it or not, tonight.
Oh.
It was the Did You Know, the Royal Rumble last night was the most socially active show in all of cable and broadcast television. Just, what does that mean? Socially active show. Does that just mean you had the most people using your hashtags?
It probably just means that they had a lot of people on Twitter and a lot of people on Facebook talking about it.
Hmm.
WWE likes to ram this down our throats. Look how look how into social media we are.
Yeah.
Let's just ram this down your throats. So. Yeah. No, I can believe it, though.
Now, after the Tyler Rex versus Brodus Clay squash match, we're then reminded that Triple H could be giving John Laurinaitis his walking papers tonight. And then that's when we went to the CM Punk Daniel Bryan vignette backstage. And then we come out to the champions versus champion match, where it is CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, no, this is probably the match of the night, I would say. And interesting thing to note is they started off with the Ring of Honor style handshake before they started.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
That was kind of cool. So right away, I kind of knew it was going to be a different type of match than we're used to seeing. And it was a very fast paced match, lots of good chain, Daniel Bryan with lots of interesting submission maneuvers, kind of stretching CM Punk all over the place. Mm-hmm. He had that one where he had his knee, I think it was on his wrist, and he was pulling his arm back with his
really
other arm.
Stretching the yeah, it was, arm of CM
I don't even know what I don't even know what the heck you'd call that. I'm sure somebody would.
Innovative.
It was very innovative. And it was a long match too. It was about 14-15 minutes long. And essentially the finish started when Daniel Bryan was on the top rope and CM Punk hit him with the nice looking Hurricane Rana. That was kind of a cool maneuver. Punk would then get up and he would hit the knee in the corner on Bryan into the Bulldog, which is one of his trademark maneuvers. And then he'd call for the GTS. He'd do his little hand gesture. But Bryan, after being picked up onto Punk's shoulders, reverse the GTS maneuver, slide out to the outside of the ring, and would then get baseball slid, or like, you know, baseball slide by CM Punk. It was at this point that Punk would attempt a suicide dive, but Bryan would run up and elbow him in the face as he was diving out of the ring. And Bryan would then climb up onto the apron, up onto the top rope, and then hit his, that drop kick that he does off the top rope.
Yeah.
So he hits the drop kick onto Punk.
That's quite a devastating drop kick, actually.
Yeah, it was.
And Punk took it well.
It probably doesn't feel that great to take, I would imagine.
No.
But anyways, after that, the men would exchange kicks for a little bit, and then there'd be a roll-up combination. And then Bryan would then pick Punk up, put him onto the top rope, and he would attempt a superplex. But it's at this point that Punk would punch him off. Punk would go up to the top rope for the Randy Savage-style elbow. He'd hit the elbow for a two count. It was at this point then that Daniel Bryan was trying to lock in the LaBell lock to finish him off. But Punk would fight out of it, push Bryan over onto the apron. And it was at this point that we saw a run-in by none other than Chris Jericho. So Chris Jericho would run in, grab Daniel Bryan, throw him out of the ring, run back into the ring, and then hit CM Punk with the Codebreaker finisher. And I guess this is kind of setting up a feud for these two guys heading into WrestleMania, which everybody kind of wanted to see in the first place, I think.
I feel like everyone wants to see this Jericho versus Punk match at WrestleMania, but I just felt like it got off to an awful start. This is not the start I wanted to see.
No?
No.
Yeah,
just come a random run-in on Punk, you give him the Codebreaker, and that's how we're starting this whole thing off?
I know, you got to start it off somehow.
The other thing was, I felt that the crowd was extremely dead when this happened.
I know, you know what, the crowd was so hot in St. Louis last night, and then what a contrast tonight in Kansas City. The crowd was just...
But, you find everyone got their match that they wanted. Why would there not be a better reaction? Like, maybe because it just comes out of left field and there's no real purpose to Jericho doing that.
Maybe there was just a cloud of disappointment over the whole thing. I don't know.
I just felt like it was an awful way to start off this WrestleMania match, if that is indeed what this is going to be.
I would have way rather have seen Jericho win the Rumble, and that's how they started off.
Yeah,
but
so would I, because it really makes those two look really big before their match.
But you know what? It made too much sense, and everybody called it beforehand, so WWE had to go a different route.
I know. I just don't even know if I agree with them going that different route. Like, they should have maybe just gone with the predictable
option.
It's
typical WWE. When you have a whole bunch of people predicting the same thing, they're going to go do something different because they don't want to be predictable, right?
Yeah. We, at this point, James, are introduced to the next Hall of Fame inductee into the 2012 Miami Hall of Fame. And this year, or tonight, they actually introduced the celebrity induction.
Oh, that's right.
And who is it but none other than the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson.
With the baddest man on the planet, a top
now,
five fifth.
His role was at WrestleMania 14, where it was Stone Cold versus Shawn Michaels. He was on Monday Night Raw a few weeks prior to this. How do you feel about this? Do you feel like Mike Tyson should be in the Hall of Fame?
The Boxing Hall of Fame, yes. I don't know about the WWE Hall of Fame.
I have a question. Did they actually say that he was going into the celebrity wing? Or did they just say he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
No, I didn't catch that either.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I don't think they actually said he was a celebrity inductee.
No, I don't think so. I can't remember. I can't remember. I was kind of half paying attention at
Interesting,
that point.
Interesting, isn't
but
it?
In a way, I can kind of see what they're doing, because having Mike Tyson involved in that Stone Cold Shawn Michaels match back in 98 did really bring a lot of outside exposure into the WWE.
Yeah.
And it kind of got the ball rolling to...
Well, you had ESPN talking about it. As you saw in this video montage tonight, you had tons of news outlets talking. And, you know, that kind of attention is what Vince McMahon gets himself off with.
It's what's made the WWE what it is today.
Oh, exactly. Right? And that you need that exposure to make WrestleMania that big. I thought that was You know, like when I thought about it prior to watching this music video, I didn't think that it was that big of a deal, but they made it look like it was, you know, a really successful time for Mike Tyson in the WWE, and maybe it was a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, I could see it. Would I have been all these celebrity inductees? I could go either way on. I'm just being honest. Like,
so are they going to have Hugh Jackman inducted into the Hall of Fame next year?
Probably for his punch,
for his punch on Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, probably.
If that's all it takes.
That was a revolutionary punch. That's what they'll bill it as. Seriously, they'll come up with some sort of monumental punch to the face. Like, that's... Oh, God. Anyways, R-Truth, after this announcement, walks out. He's walking out to the ring to be a special guest commentator for an upcoming match. Or no. Yes, that's right.
Yes,
he's walking out to the commentator's table. Now, at this point, Kofi Kingston makes his entrance wearing his Riddler ring attire.
Yeah, he's got the lime green with black question marks all over it.
Oh, he's like the Riddler, but...
What is up with that?
But not the Riddler.
Is that supposed to symbolize his career, the big question mark?
That's pretty good. It's quite possible.
So,
at this point, the WWE plugs their new YouTube channel, which launches this Wednesday.
Huh?
Are you looking forward to this?
Not particularly, no.
No, not really?
Well, I honestly... I still don't really know a lot about it. Even after what they showed us on Raw tonight, I really don't know that whole...
From what I understand, YouTube is coming out with a series of channels that will be broadcasting almost live television 24 hours a day. Now, the WWE is going to be taking the task of one of these channels. So, anyone who's basically bored surfing YouTube can tune in to this WWE channel that's on it and just see what's playing at the time.
Don't they have exclusive content though for this?
YouTube channel? Like they've announced 9 shows for it.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that these 9 shows will probably loop throughout the day. You know what I mean?
I guess.
And they'll probably update them once a week or twice a week. These are going to be low budget shows. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would imagine they're low budget shows too. Are we going to see that show with Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov?
I think that got scrapped. You're talking about the comedy sitcom.
Oh, okay.
Or the sitcom, I should say.
I'm thinking of something else, maybe.
Well, Vladimir Kozlov isn't even with the organization anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that whole thing got shelved.
Okay.
I actually read today that he's training to possibly be an MMA fighter.
It's a good move for him.
Yeah. Now, Miz walks out with a microphone, and he says, "Really? Kofi makes social media headlines with his move last night at the Royal Rumble? Really?" Miz says that his own road to WrestleMania, it's just been a little detoured, and he will beat Kofi tonight and everyone at the Elimination Chamber. This sets up Kofi versus The Miz.
So this is the fourth match of the night. It's Kofi Kingston versus The Miz, like we just said, and it's, you know, nothing overly special about this match. It was 9 minutes long. It had some interesting spots. It had Miz hitting his DDT from the knees. It had Kofi Kingston hitting his crossbody splash from the top rope, and essentially, the finish came with Kofi Kingston hitting his Trouble in Paradise pretty much out of nowhere and pinning Miz clean at about 8.5-9 minute mark. So,
does Kofi Kingston have any business being in this Raw Elimination Chamber match?
I think that's the reason he got the win tonight. Because when was the last time we saw Kofi Kingston win on TV?
When did we see him when he wasn't like opening match?
Yeah.
Like, why all of a sudden are we getting this push of Kofi Kingston?
Because they need to start pushing guys.
Well, that Evan Bourne is suspended, so you can't keep Kofi on the shelf if his partner is stupid and violated the wellness policy.
This Royal Rumble just revealed to us how weak their roster actually really is.
So I know.
They got to start pushing guys up. And, I mean, you know, give Kofi a chance, right? He's had a really, really bad last few months. I mean, being tied together with Evan Bourne and all his troubles, right?
But then again, I ask the question, does he belong in this Raw Elimination Chamber match? And if it's not him, like, there's probably much more important people that could be in that match.
Is Dolph Ziggler in that match?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
What about put, like, Jack Swagger in that match? What about putting Brodus Clay in that match? That would have been cool.
That would have been all right.
Put Brodus Clay in the Elimination Chamber.
I'd like to see that.
I guess they just want him to have him squash people for up to WrestleMania. I don't know. Who do you think's going to beat Brodus Clay?
I think that Brodus Clay is probably going to go on a bit of a win streak, and it's probably going to be a while before we see someone beat him. I mean, remember they did that with Sin Cara? Like, who's going to be the guy to beat Sin Cara? Then all of a sudden, one week on SmackDown, it was Christian.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
Just beats Sin Cara, yeah.
So, I mean, they could do that route with Brodus Clay, or they could have him go on a winning streak. If he goes on a winning streak, it could actually be very good for his gimmick.
It's, hey, you know what? This gimmick that we were ragging on a couple of shows ago, it's actually starting to get over.
Oh, so you're a fan is what you're
saying. I didn't say with me. I said it's starting to get over.
Okay. Do you see a title in his future anytime soon?
No, not with this gimmick. Okay. Not with this gimmick, no.
All right. Well, we head backstage where David Otunga is with John Laurinaitis, and he tells John that he's done everything he can to make sure that this job review goes well. I mean, could this guy be a bigger teacher's pet? Laurinaitis feels a bit of a bad vibe from Otunga, though, and he just straight up asks him if Otunga's going after his job. And Otunga says no, he's quite happy in his present position.
Laurinaitis is certifiably paranoid at this point.
So. Yeah. There's a bit of a pun there where Otunga says, no, I'm quite happy in my present position. I mean, I'm thinking that he probably referencing the fact that he's bending over for him or something. We head to commercial.
PG show.
Now we come back from commercial with another Did You Know segment, the second one tonight. And did you know, James, that John Cena has over 10 million Facebook followers, which is more than LeBron James, Kim Kardashian, Tim Tebow, Michelle Obama, Kanye West, and of course, The Rock.
They showed this exact same Did You Know yesterday at the Rumble.
And as if when I see this, as if I'm going to go do it myself.
Yes, this is going to make me want to go be a John Cena follower on Facebook.
Oh my God, 10 million people? I gotta be 10 million.
Clicking on to John Cena's Facebook profile as we speak.
Yeah.
Like.
It's at this point, James, this is my favorite part of the road to WrestleMania. The gratuitous shots of the WrestleMania sign.
Oh.
That hangs above the arena. Because now we have to have this WrestleMania sign every night.
We get a shot of this like 10, 15 times an episode.
So after that Did You Know graphic, seriously, for like 15 seconds, they just did these different pans and zooms just showing the WrestleMania sign. That's all it was.
And is it just me? Does this thing get bigger and more elaborate every year?
I know.
It's just what it seems like.
And what do you mean? In what aspect?
It's just larger size-wise.
Oh. I don't know. I didn't notice that.
I don't know. It seems like to me it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
We should count how many times people point to that from now until WrestleMania.
That is a good thing. Yes, we are going to count here on Smack Talk.
We should.
How many times wrestlers point to the WrestleMania logo.
We then, at this point in the evening, after the gratuitous shots of the WrestleMania sign, we are thrown to a video of The Rock to the music of Wild Ones by Flo Rida. Now, this is something they aired last night at the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Now, what's your take on this video that they played about The Rock?
I really like this video. It really humanizes him, I think. I like at the end where he talks about his Samoan heritage and his grandfather, the High Chief Peter Maivia. Mm-hmm. I really like that little clip that they had where he was doing the Samoan dance. I thought that was really kind of cool.
That's probably just like some family video they found.
Yeah, you know, I think it's cool. It inserts a little bit of culture and a little bit of humanism into The Rock, and it lets him... Because, I don't know, a guy like The Rock, you feel almost kind of like this guy's on a pedestal because he's The Rock, right?
Yeah.
And I think videos like this really help to kind of, humanize him a little bit more and make him, relate to him a little bit more.
The one thing about The Rock is he's never forgotten where he's from.
No.
He hasn't forgot what's put him where he is.
No.
I mean, obviously, it's a lot of his own, you know, personal hard work and commitment and dedication.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's still very appreciative of the fact, you know, that he has this big wrestling history in his family, that he had all, you know, he played football with certain people. Like, he's very appreciative of everyone who helped him get to where
Well, let's face it. I mean, he would have never got these movie roles if he hadn't become big in the WWE, obviously.
Exactly.
Right? They would have known.
Which is realistically why The Rock is even coming back, because he wants to keep the WWE strong and mm-hmm. This is his way of like giving back to Vince, saying, yeah, I will headline this WrestleMania for you because you've done so much for me. And that video to me, you're right, just personalizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a well done video. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to it. It makes that main event match at WrestleMania that much sweeter. I'm just wondering, are they going to show these videos week in and week out from now until WrestleMania?
I guarantee you, because last night on the Rumble, they had a video for John Cena. Showing where he came from.
Yeah. And what did you think of that John Cena one?
Actually, I really, really liked that. Yeah. That really,
You almost wanted to cheer for him.
It just, you do. You know what, that's the thing. Because John Cena, I mean, he, like he said in his video in the Royal Rumble, he really does just portray himself. But I think the thing that a lot of people have a problem with him is when he comes out and he does his character on Monday Night Raw, it just seems so fake and contrived.
Yeah.
Whereas you have a really cool guy, John Cena, the person, the John Cena. Yeah, it seems like a really cool guy, the guy you want to hang out with. And then you got this fake character that comes onto Raw and does the angry face for 20 seconds into the camera. And it's just like, and that's why people boo him.
Yeah. I know. But when you watch that video that they showed last night at the Royal Rumble, like, you really did feel like, wow, maybe... You actually started to wonder if you would be cheering Cena for... I mean, I can't see myself cheering Cena. Honestly, but you know what's funny is I think my girlfriend, who has said all the way up until last night that she was going to cheer for The Rock at WrestleMania, now after watching that video, she kind of came around last night. So WWE is trying hard, I think, to convince the casual fan to go for Cena,
and
possibly.
And you know what? Honestly, if you are a real hardcore wrestling fan, you understand the business and what it takes to be in this business and what it takes to make this business run, you have to have respect for John Cena and what he's done.
Yeah.
Right, like
of course.
If you're a real wrestling fan, you got to have respect for what Cena's done and accomplished up to this point.
Of course. Now here's the problem I have with this video that they showed tonight. Are they going to be showing this video week in and week out as a substitute for The Rock not appearing in person?
I hope not.
Like, are we just not going to have The Rock appearing on the road regularly on Monday Night Raw until like 3 weeks prior to WrestleMania?
See, this is. You and I disagree on this fact. I think they need to have The Rock make a surprise appearance. You always say that they need to, if The Rock's going to show up, they got to bill it. They got to bill it, right? Because that's going to get
people in. If it's at a pay-per-view. If it's on a Raw, then it can be a surprise. But if it's on a pay-per-view, they have to bill it.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I see where you're going there then.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, The Rock has to make a surprise appearance or two to build this feud up, I think, going forward.
Yeah.
How they're going to do it, I don't know. Because obviously they're continuing the whole John Cena-Kane thing, as we're going to get into...
Thinking that maybe throughout the month of February he's promoting this new movie, and then when we get to the beginning of March, that's when he's committed, you know, in his calendar, he's committed, okay, March and April is for the WWE, right? Like, maybe he's just got to get through this initial promotion for his new movie, and then he's going to be on the road regularly, but I just feel like they're really leaving it late, because these videos that they're showing of The Rock, these are just substitutes for him not appearing in person.
Yeah, no,
they're keeping the storyline fresh and alive in everyone's minds, but they're doing it in a way that's just done through the editing department.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
So that's my issue with it, but I did like it. And, you know, I hope they don't show it week in and week out. I hope it's kind of just a 1 or 2 week thing. I think next week they'll probably show the John Cena one.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. Let's get back to Monday Night Raw. Eve Torres, she walks out in distress. This is going to set up her match against Beth Phoenix for the Divas Championship. This might be match of the year, James.
Holy smokes. I'm telling you, if you have anybody who's not a professional wrestling fan and you want to make them a wrestling fan, you show them this match.
Of course.
And of course, we're talking sarcastically.
Yes.
So, okay, the match starts off. This is the entire match. I'm going to describe the match in its entirety right here. Eve Torres gets a little bit of offense in, kicks about twice, throws it about 3 or 4 of the elbows. Beth Phoenix turns it around, hits her with the Glam Slam, pins her 1, 2, 3. I swear to God, it was under 30 seconds.
And that's it. That's what.
So Beth,
maybe this is just punishment for Eve's terrible acting in the last couple weeks. Maybe Vince is like, Eve, you really dropped the ball on this one. You need to go out and lose in under 20
punishment
seconds.
For Eve. I thought this was punishment for Beth.
Why?
It's like, hey Beth, why don't we want you to come out, you know, squash her for, you'll have about 30 seconds of TV time and then get the hell off.
Well, she still keeps the belt, so it's not really punishment.
Woo!
Yeah, I know. Well, it's at this point that Kane shows up on the Titantron, and he asks Eve how it feels to know everything could have been prevented to Zack Ryder, his or her boyfriend, I guess, at this point. They haven't really come out yet, but he asks, you know, how does it feel knowing that everything could have been prevented to Zack Ryder if Cena had just embraced the hate? He also makes mention that Cena can't beat Kane on his way to face The Rock at WrestleMania, which is an interesting point.
That's all you got to do, Cena, is join the dark side, buddy.
But isn't it interesting that here we are hyping up the main event of WrestleMania, of Cena versus The Rock, and you're right, we can't even get through Kane at this point. I mean, obviously there's a reason for it.
It's because he hasn't embraced the hate. Kane just told you that.
What does that even mean? Let's just say next week on Raw, Cena decides to embrace the hate.
It means he becomes a heel and turns on the fans.
Is that what it is? So,
I'm pretty sure that's what
like,
it
how
means.
Will we know he's embracing the hate?
I don't know. It's...
It's so vague.
It is. It's very vague at this point, but again...
The storyline is written for kids, but it's in a way that kids wouldn't even understand what they're saying.
It's building towards a John Cena heel turn, and I've said it before, and I've said it again. It's gonna happen. Main event of WrestleMania.
Okay. Well, Kane says to Eve at this point that he is going to use her to send that message to Cena that he needs to embrace the hate. And... out of nowhere, Kane appears behind Eve Torres, and she falls to the ground. It's at this point that John Cena's music hits, wastes no time, runs to the ring, saves Torres, attacks Kane, and the two roll around trading blows. They head to the outside and brawl on the outside. Mm-hmm. Cena picks up the ring step and hits Kane with them, and then Cena's face turns to almost that sinister grin that we saw in Raw a few weeks ago, and he begins to lose control on Kane. He says, "Every time you get up, I'm going to knock you down." Cena then rips apart the announce table. He grabs a mic, hits Kane with it, and then he yells on the mic, "We gonna have a party up in here." Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
"We're gonna have a party up in here."
Yeah. Almost like losing control of himself momentarily.
See, this is why people can't get behind John Cena. You know, you can respect the guy, but you can't. And then, just the way he's... Oh.
I agree. Cena, he tries to attitude adjust Kane. Was that the right way you say that?
Attitude adjust, I don't know. AA, sure.
He tries to AA Kane into the announce
table.
That
just sounds even worse. But
but he manages to retreat. Kane manages to retreat into the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all we get for Kane and Cena this week. Well, what are your thoughts? I had thought that this was going to end at the Royal Rumble.
That's right.
Clearly isn't.
And I told you that it wasn't. Oh, I told you it was going to keep going. That's right.
So... I guess it's going all the way to the elimination pay-per-view. Because Cena's not in the elimination match.
That's right.
So, obviously, Kane and Cena at the elimination chamber.
And they're still
working
house shows together, so that tells me that they're going to have a match together at the elimination chamber.
Do you think Rock makes his appearance at the elimination pay-per-view? It's not the elimination chamber pay-per-view.
It's the elimination pay-per-view. Okay, yeah, for now on, we're calling it the elimination pay-per-view. you know what? He's got to make an appearance at that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're only, 5 weeks away until WrestleMania, and that's crunch time. Now you gotta start building the feud up.
Yeah. As we head into our final commercial break, we show John Laurinaitis walking backstage. He's making his way out to the arena. He's about to have his job performance review. Now, when he enters the ring, Triple H soon walks out soon after. Triple H wearing his business suit tonight. Now, John Laurinaitis gives himself a self-evaluation, and he basically gives himself a bunch of 5 out of 5s, you know, 5s in creativity, artistic direction, etc.
Yep.
Now, Triple H cuts this all off. He calls John Laurinaitis spineless and gutless and says he didn't think he would see the obvious power grab right in front of him, but he did. Now, John Laurinaitis just didn't grab the power. He tried to use the role, and he tried to use it to make himself a star.
Which was something that nobody in this role had done before, he also mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So he was using, what he's insinuating is that John Laurinaitis is using and abusing this power of being the Raw General Manager to make himself a star and put himself in the spotlight.
It's, what do you say about John Laurinaitis, man? Like, what a dynamic character. And I tell you, he's really growing on me.
Yeah.
You know, because you can... It's weird. You can tell he wants to do the right thing, but at the same time, yeah, he wants to have that spotlight. He wants to have that limelight, right?
Now, at this point in the evening, are you wanting John Laurinaitis to get fired, or are you now turning around and saying, I want him to stay?
No, I'm saying I definitely want Laurinaitis to stay on.
Which is crazy, because how long ago were we not saying on the show that he's got to go?
5 weeks? No, a few months ago, actually, more than 5 weeks. But yeah, it was like 2 months ago we were saying, get this guy off the TV. We don't want to see him anymore.
So you're willing to look past all the flubs that he has with his words?
Yes, because I truly enjoy his character. His deliverance isn't the greatest, I'll give you that. Or delivery, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Isn't the greatest, but I'm really enjoying his character. You know, it's... It's kind of weird. He wants to do the right thing, but in the end, he wants... What's the word I'm kind of looking for here? He wants to do the right thing, but in the end, he wants to make sure that all the cards are in his favor is what I'm trying to kind of get at here.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
You know, but he still does want to do the right thing.
So you better be careful with these words here, because if you say you want John Laurinaitis to stick around, and the WWE sticks him around, keeps him around for another year... You still want him around that long down the road? Because this is your opportunity to get rid of him. If you don't get rid of him now, he might be a permanent figure on Raw for years to come.
No, I'd say, I don't know, maybe up to WrestleMania, maybe. Yeah. And then after WrestleMania, maybe.
But you know that doesn't happen, because look at Michael Cole last year. I mean, we're all like, oh, well, after WrestleMania, he's going to be off TV. Well, and he's going to go back to being a commentator. And how long after that did that go on for?
God, Michael Cole is an episode of Smack Talking himself.
So I'm just saying, everyone needs to be careful with what they're saying here. If you want John Laurinaitis to stick around, you better be saying, you know, you better be sure because he's around to stay if they keep him.
I think I'd like to see John Laurinaitis eventually transition into that babyface role, personally.
You think he actually could? Does wrestling need a babyface Raw general manager?
Well, they've got a babyface general manager over on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? You think two babyface?
Well, there's just so much more conflict and controversy when you do have a heel GM. But
they do that to death almost.
I know. It's been done so many times.
Or they have the heel in authority, right?
Yeah.
Why not switch it around and have the babyface in authority and then have the heel?
Yeah.
Kind of.
No, that's a good idea.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, I'm so confused on to what to think with John Laurinaitis.
I know. That's part of why I enjoy his character so much.
Yeah, and I think Vince knows that, and that's why he wants to keep him around as well. So, now, in reference to CM Punk accusing Laurinaitis of using his power to push himself into the spotlight, John Laurinaitis, he denies this allegation, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H replies back with, "Come on, John, don't lie. Don't make it worse." He asks John Laurinaitis, "Did he not involve himself in the WWE Championship match at the Royal Rumble? You did that, John, because you wanted to be a star." And John says that he did that to make Raw better. Now, Triple H says, "You know, when he and Vince ran Raw, they let personal decisions cloud their judgment. And up until this point, so has he." Now, Laurinaitis says he'll do anything to keep his job. And that was a big mistake because Triple H heard this and just ran with it.
Oh, man, did he ever.
Triple H says, "Wow, that's a broad statement. It leaves a lot to interpretation. You'll do anything? Wow, anything." And Triple H says, "You know, I could tell you to take that microphone and apologize to everyone in the WWE universe. And if they forgive him, then he's willing to reconsider his decision." Now, to a chorus of boos, Laurinaitis apologizes to the crowd. Right away, Triple H says, "I don't believe your apology," and says, "I can make you do anything right now. Why don't I make a gauntlet match and have every WWE superstar in the back who wants to take a swing at you come out and face you?"
Oh, geez.
And Laurinaitis blows that off quickly.
Yeah.
And then Triple H, at this point, he's got this sly look to him, and he says, "Ooh, if I just could come up with something that I could make you do." And it's at this point that Triple H references Vince, and he says, "You know, Vince did have one thing going for him, and that was a certain club."
The club.
And everyone kind of clues in at this point. And John Laurinaitis, he slowly brings out his chapstick, and he applies it to his lips. And he just basically drops to his knees and closes his eyes.
Puckers up, too.
Didn't even waste any time.
Yeah, no, he was ready.
And Triple H says, "Wow, you were actually going to do it, weren't you?"
He totally makes a fool of
the guy. He says, "You think I'd let you put those lips on me? I don't know where they've been." And Triple H says, "You know, the board has seen that I can put my personal problems behind me. And the board says I can run Raw at any time I feel like it. So at this time, it truly warms my heart to let you know that I wish you well in all your..." And it's at this point, James, that the lights drop and the Undertaker's music hits.
Why they didn't have him come back in the Rumble, I don't know, but...
Undertaker walks out, gets in the ring, circles Triple H, looks up at the WrestleMania sign. He gives the signature guillotine gesture to signify that, yes, it's Triple H versus Undertaker at WrestleMania. Now, after a bit of a 20-second stare down, Triple H, he actually pats Undertaker on the back and exits the ring and walks to the back with Taker left in the ring staring at the WrestleMania sign, almost putting this match in jeopardy. Now, I'm sure there's going to be a follow-up to this, but first of all, your thoughts on The Undertaker returning, and what do you think of Triple H possibly turning down The Undertaker?
Well, first of all, having The Undertaker return at Raw here kind of salvaged the show for me, because at this point, it wasn't going anywhere special. I mean, the whole Laurinaitis thing was the only thing that was really cooking for me.
Yeah.
But, no, I honestly, the Triple H Undertaker match, we all know, is going to happen. But it's going to be interesting to see Triple H actually being the one to be the one that's saying no. Because I think it was last year, wasn't it last year, that that Undertaker was kind of the one that was... on the fence about having the match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, because at first he shut Triple H down.
Yeah, that's right. He shut. And now this year the roles are kind of reversed. Now it's Triple H that's shutting The Undertaker down. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. So
now, do you want to see Triple H versus Undertaker again?
Well, here's the thing with The Undertaker. I mean, the WWE has such a weak roster right now. It's like, who do you put up against The Undertaker that's believable?
I mean, ideally, the big match would be Cena versus The Undertaker.
Well, but obviously that's not going to happen, right?
Not yet.
But again, like, who are you going to put up against The Undertaker this year?
Yeah. Well, if it's not Cena, which it isn't, it's got to be The Undertaker. I mean, you could argue that maybe Kane.
I mean, Triple H.
Or, sorry, Triple H, yeah. You could argue that maybe Kane, because Kane has been on such a roll. And remember, Kane buried Undertaker not too long ago.
That's a good one. That's the only other one I could really think of.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't see anybody else.
I think this is just a bit of a delay to push to advance the storyline. I think you are going to see Undertaker versus Triple H. That is the match.
Yeah.
And do you like how he came back?
You know what? Personally, I would have rather seen him come back in the Rumble yesterday in the number 30 spot, but... You know, maybe his work rate isn't what it used to be, so maybe he didn't want to work the Rumble match.
Okay, so let's just recap what we've got so far after the Royal Rumble. We have Sheamus winning, still undecided as to who he's going to face at the Royal Rumble. It could be Daniel Bryan, it could be CM Punk.
That's right.
Now, in CM Punk's world, we had Chris Jericho run out and give him the Codebreaker.
So that's kind of sets up a feud there. So it's a possibility we see Jericho and...
Punk.
And CM Punk.
We also have the possibility that it could be Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But at this point, nothing has really mentioned that. So to me, that seems like the more likely option.
Here. You see, on that side, I would have to say wait and see the next pay-per-view. What's going to be the result of that one?
I mean, it's quite possible that maybe Sheamus comes out on SmackDown this week and makes his announcement that he's facing Daniel Bryan. Maybe that's an announcement they're saving for SmackDown.
Which
probably will happen now that I think about it. Now we also have possibly Undertaker versus Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
We have The Rock versus John Cena. We have nothing for Ziggler at this point.
No, and there's rumors floating around about having another Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania this year. And if that's the case, that's the match I'd probably see Ziggler in and probably win too.
You think so? They're also saying, apparently, the list of upcoming pay-per-views for this year was sent out to the television affiliates this week, and Money in the Bank is on it. So they are planning to have a Money in the Bank pay-per-view this year again. So are they going to do one at WrestleMania and have the pay-per-view?
Well, you know what? The WWE has been known in the past to kind of overdo something that they get that works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I could see it.
Now, okay, so... Ziggler and the Money in the Bank. If it's not a Money in the Bank, what do you put Ziggler in? Or who do you put Ziggler with?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. Who do you put Ziggler with?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean...
Brodus Clay?
Would be a pretty bad match, I
think. Yes.
I mean, you're probably going to have Big Show versus Shaq. That's the rumor.
Big Show versus Shaq. Probably Cody Rhodes versus Goldust.
So Ziggler really is not in the mix at this point.
No, which is a shame because you know, here's a guy who's got such unbelievable talent, and they're hurting for star power in their roster right now.
I'm just trying to think of who you put him with. Maybe it's another celebrity involvement.
It's possible, maybe.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Ziggler's a question mark at this point.
Yeah.
But they're burying him. Maybe he takes on Curt Hawkins at WrestleMania.
God, the rate he's going. It's terrible, too. I totally don't agree with that.
I don't agree with it at all.
No.
I mean, I cannot believe you have him come out last night, lose, and then tonight you bury him again to Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Although maybe Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
But then he just beat him cleanly tonight. So to me, that's not even an option.
There you go. There's the finish right there. Yeah.
God.
What do you do?
Professional wrestling at its finest.
God. Sometimes I'm glad I don't write for WWE.
Sometimes I wish I do, and sometimes I wish I didn't. Because. I don't know. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Oh, one thing I wanted to bring up.
What's that?
Did you see up in the top left corner of Raw tonight, they had the little thing that said hashtag Raw.
Oh, that's right. You pointed that out to me.
The watermark that said hashtag Raw.
And this is the first time they've done that, hasn't it?
I think so. So it's like they're reminding everyone that mention this word hashtag Raw on your Twitter and Facebook.
So we can trend.
So we can be the most socially active show on television.
Yeah. Ramming it down our throats once again.
Ugh.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, me too. In fact, I will not reference those hashtags in protest of what they're doing. But like I told you before, I was working that soccer event this week, and every so often, Sportsnet would actually make reference to what terms were trending on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, they were, Christine Sinclair, the top Canadian soccer player. Christine Sinclair is trending on Twitter right now.
Oh, no
Join
way.
In on the conversation, blah, blah, blah. Like, they were promoting it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, this is just the way it is. TV yeah. shows are going to do it from now on.
Heightened interactivity, I guess.
The sad part is the only way this takes off is if the public goes with it.
Yeah.
And the public is stupid enough that they will go with it. But
well, most people are.
So now we have the WWE logo in the lower left corner of your television.
Hashtag.
We're gonna have hashtag Raw in the top left corner. Occasionally, we're gonna have WWE HD somewhere in the screen. We also have the trending now graphics that pop up. I mean, it's just like a spam board, really.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, we gotta get out of here.
Yep.
This was SRL on a Monday night.
Don't forget to tune in on Thursday for our. Polished show.
I'm going to have to correct you there, James, because Smack Talk Radio Live this week will not be on Thursday.
What?
We're doing it on a Friday this week. We are going to be broadcasting the show Friday instead of Thursday this week, and that's due to me and my career.
Your ever-changing career here.
Well, there's a Vancouver Canucks game on Thursday. I have to work that, and I can't say no to working a Canucks game.
Nope.
For the show yet.
Nope, unfortunately not.
No. All right. www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm really trying to promote people to start sending in their thoughts and opinions on what they watched on Raw or what they're liking. And, if anyone has a take, send it in to us, whether it's by email, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com or through our Facebook page. You know, if it doesn't suck, we will read it on the air.
Yep.
And get your thought and voice heard. This is what this show is all about.
Start throwing us your opinions, you know?
You can only listen to James and I for so long before you want to chime in yourself. Well, here's your opportunity. We want you to chime in and take part. This show is, it's all about everyone. It's not just about you and I. It's about everyone else as well. So.
That's right. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. All right. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
This was SRL on a Monday night. We will see you on Friday.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.